Hello, everybody. Hey. So, I got to tell you why we put Kelly Chiz on the fairy floss. And because a few years ago, she was on the fairy floss, and things just started going terribly wrong for her. She was trying to use the stick, and then eventually became the stick. It's like this fairy. And if I can find it, I'll show you the video next week. Is she here next week, Chiz? She should be. It'd be great, yeah. So, and John, I think afterwards there's some bit of a party outside, and there'll be all the forms there for you to sign up, so that's great. Well, this morning I want to, if you can open your Bibles, and if you don't have Bibles, there's some at the back, so if you need a Bible, we're going to open them up at Exodus chapter 3. So if you need a Bible, hold your hand and give a wave, and someone will get you a Bible. In the name of Jesus. I could hear this singing this morning, and I thought, that sounds like my dad. And there he is. How many other people heard my dad singing this morning? Yeah, I love it. Love it. It's good to see you, Mum and Dad. About time you came to church. It's been a long time. Backslidden reprobates you. All right, Exodus chapter 3, and we're just going to tease some stuff out of this morning. For those who, you know, I'm actually going to be taking on sort of leadership of youth over the next year, and the fourth Sunday of every month, the youth are sort of going to be in church, and so we're going to do like a bit of a youth-styled message. You probably won't know a difference when I do it. Just sound the same as all the other times. But that's this morning. I just wanted to share a little bit about, see where we go and how far we get through today. But yeah. So I'm going to read to you. We're just seeing a little intersection, a little slice of Moses' life. A lot has gone on before. You know, it says in Hebrews that Moses' parents saw that he was no ordinary child. It didn't even begin with him. It began with his parents just hiding him in the bulrushes, and he was brought up in Pharaoh's courts, tried to deliver the Israelites, the Jewish people, in his own strength, ended up fleeing from Egypt, and he's literally found himself wandering in the desert for 40 years, married, looking after sheep. And in chapter 3, we actually meet Moses as he's out on the hillside. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him, flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, Mode. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take your sandals off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. That's why I'm wearing my thongs today. My flip-flops, for those who think thong is something else. He says, don't taste its holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And there began a dialogue with God. And this morning, I think I want to talk about turning aside. You see, Moses was in the wilderness, and from what I can understand, bushes set on fire. We're seeing horrific fires in the west coast of USA at the moment, and often we see them here as well, caused by just really dry conditions, and then something like a lightning strike or something sparks, and things set on fire. And so I don't think bushes were uncommon that they'd be on fire, but Moses noticed this bush that it was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And it says that Moses turned and said to himself, oh, that's interesting. I'll go over and have a look. And it says that when God saw, verse 3, so Moses saw, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to have a look, don't you think that's interesting? Like, what does that mean? Does it mean that if Moses hadn't gone over to have a look, God wouldn't have done the next bit? Would it have had to wait for some other time, some other place, maybe for God to encounter Moses and begin to speak to him about his future? And as I was just preparing this morning, I just thought to myself, when was the last time I turned aside? Because I noticed that maybe something was happening. When was the last time you turned aside? You know, it may be when we talk about encountering God, you know, it's such a subjective, you know, topic. It's so different for everyone, isn't it? If I were to ask in the room, what have been your encounters with the divine? I'm sure we would hear so many different stories based in so many different circumstances. For some, it may be a sunset where you literally stop and turn aside and just be like, suddenly you're hit with the wonder of who God is. Maybe it was, for me, one day it was lying on the back of my ute on the way to work up north, sleeping there, looking at the stars, saying like, David, oh, God, who are you? Who am I that you're mindful of me? You know, just that kind of amazing thing. Sometimes for others, though, it might be turning aside, you know, that homeless person on the side of the street. And you know, you say, a homeless person, how could it be that? How could God be that? But the bush was just ordinary. It was an extraordinary God that was actually behind all this. And you know, in the New Testament, Jesus says to, at the end times, he says, you know, hey, you guys, thank you for loving on me. Thank you for turning aside and ministering to me. And they said, Lord, when do we do that? And he said, I was homeless and you let me in. I was naked and you clothed me. You know, there's something led you to turn aside and it was me. It was me there. I love this because I do think very often we start off not knowing really where God is and what he's doing. That sometimes our encounter with him is just curiosity that causes us to stumble into his beautiful presence, and he transforms us in such amazing ways. So it could be the homeless person. It could be hearing of the person in trouble and reaching out to them, and all of a sudden you find yourself in this holy moment where they are there and you are there and God is there. And it goes on to say that, and this morning I actually felt that was one of the main things I want to focus on. In a moment, I actually want us to just, you know, maybe this morning as we've been worshiping, maybe this is one of the places where we can turn aside. Maybe it's not. It's a burning bush. I wonder what it is. And when God saw Moses change course, he encountered him. You might say, well, maybe, you know, I'm not into singing and maybe that's not the place. Maybe not, but maybe the table is a place this morning where God can encounter you and call you and begin to speak to you. So Moses actually meets this bush and he hears these words. God speaks and says, take your shoes off. And then Moses says, here I am. And I love it what it says in verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I love this because when Moses meets God, he all of a sudden has this understanding that he is there because of the obedience of a bunch of other people who have gone before him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I mean, think about Abraham in Genesis 12, you can read about it. He's not a God-fearing person. He's a pagan. He worships other things. And he hears God say, I want you to leave your country, you know, your culture when you leave, a cultural relocation, your people, a relational relocation, and even your family, you know, a generational relocation. And Moses sets off. And his obedience, God says to Moses, is a reason that they're chatting on this day. Do you know God's a generational God? Do you know he doesn't just see now? And so often that's what I see. I see the moment. You see, we see now, don't we? And I hope even in this passage as we read it, we can zoom out. If you're a young person here today, that you can zoom out and see that God didn't just say, hey, I'm God of you, Moses. He said, I'm God of Abraham, Isaac. He tied him in with this generational obedience. The decisions and things we do have generational ramifications. That's not me laying a heavy on you. That's actually an exciting thing. Don't you think that's beautiful? That in 100 years' time, God willing, if global warming or something else hasn't knocked us off the planet, in 100 years' time, there'll be different people sat here, maybe because of you. I'm so glad for Howard Jones. Actually, what was the pastor that led you to the Lord, Dad? What was his name? Harold Jones. I'm glad for Harold Jones. I don't know his story, but I do know that Harold Jones at some point gave his life to Jesus. And when my dad left the RAF to have a little break, I'm glad Harold Jones actually dialogued with my dad. I think my dad maybe turned aside. And he thought, I'm going to go and argue with Harold Jones. And he was saying all sorts of stuff. Where did Cain get his wife from? And Harold says, that's not the question you should be asking. Where are you going to get your wife from? That's what you should be asking. You're a loser. Dad was arguing and studying, and in this dialogue, at the end of this dialogue, my dad, who had no real Christian upbringing at all, found himself kneeling down and making a decision to follow Jesus that night. He was so changed by that small act of turning aside and inviting Jesus into his life. He went back to the barracks that night, I think, burst the doors open and shouted to everyone there, hey lads, I've become a born again Christian, expecting them all to go, good on you, Bob, amen. Let's read the Bible together. They were just like, shut up, Bob. And that began a life of quite hardship sometimes for Dad as he began to follow Jesus. I'm so glad my mum turned aside. In fact, when she first went to church, her brother had already started going to church, Laurie. The first time she was in church, she thought Laurie had told the pastor all about her, because he was speaking from the front and she was so mad that Laurie had like dobbed her in to the pastor. So she went out of church and she basically went and told Laurie off. She said, I can't believe, he said, I didn't. You liar, you. Mom gave her life to Jesus. You know, what's the weird thing is, I see that and I just go, that's a really great story. But did you know that when Mom and Dad both surrendered their lives to Jesus, in them was me and my brothers and sister. There's a really weird passage in Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews talks about Melchizedek and how Melchizedek was like Jesus. And he talks about how Melchizedek was this new priest and that Jesus is a new priest who could bring a new covenant. That's the whole thing he's going on about. But he says this really generational thing. He said, did you know when Abraham met Melchizedek, he said, Abraham, something out of him flowed this generosity where he said, I want to give you a tenth. I want to tithe all my spoils and I want to give it to you, Melchizedek. And the writer of Hebrews says, did you know, you could say the Levites who receive a tenth, Levite was actually one of Abraham's children. The Levites who receive a tenth actually tithe to Melchizedek through Abraham. What a weird thing to say, isn't it? In other words, the unborn Levi kind of was worshiping and honoring Melchizedek I say that because God sees generations, and what you do, and when you turn aside, and when you encounter God, it matters. It changes, I believe, everything, just that we don't see it. Often we don't have that bird's eye view. And so Moses is introduced, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then began a dialogue between Moses and God. And God says this. He said, the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Verse 7. Listen to that. The first thing God says after he says, Moses, this is holy ground, he says, hey, Moses, I want to talk to you about something beyond you. He said, Moses, worship me, take your shoes off. And Moses took his sandals off. And God said, put them back on your feet, smell. But he left them off and he aired them. And he worshipped. It was worship. It was holy ground. And then the next thing God said is not, I'm going to build up you, Moses. And he says, hey, have you heard the cry of the oppressed? Have you heard the cry of the needy? See, when we turn aside and we encounter God, often what we encounter is a God who hears the cry of the oppressed. And he says, I don't want to just call you and bless you like I said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. He said, but I want in you my blessing to be a blessing to the nations. I want this blessing that I put in you because I'm a God who blesses, but I want you to partner with me to bless the nations. You see, I see in this verse here in verse 7, worship and justice and mercy hugging each other. I was so excited about last night going to the, Rob, what do you even call it? The gathering, the worship and feast night, worship and whiskey night, something. It was worship. But what I loved about this was it wasn't just, hey, let's come and sing, folks. It was, hey, have you seen the Lombano and what's happening by this great group of people in Africa? And we saw a video of this group of people who basically are doing palliative care for young children and loving them for the last little stints of their lives. Worship and justice and mercy. God, when you turn aside and you encounter him, you don't just encounter him, you know, for your best life now. You encounter a God who actually hears what we don't hear. He sees generations and he hears the cries. All going good. You would think after that Moses would be like, all right, sign me up. The great adventure begins. But he's broken, he's worn down. He might be here this morning, he might be like, if this is one of those, come on, let's take the hill message, I'm done. And you know what? You're probably more like Moses than you are like anyone else. You see, Moses was done. He tried to follow God. He tried to do the God thing. He did it out of, I think, right motives. And he was a broken man. He was tired. He'd had 40 years out looking after stinky sheep. Stinky, smelly sheep. And God says, I know some other stinky, smelly sheep that I want you to go to. And so Moses, it kind of blows me away this. Have you ever like shouted at God, give me away? I'll ask this next question. Have you ever sworn at God? Only three people put their hands up. And for the tape, I will now name those three people. Psalms are full of lament. Where are you, God? What? And it says here that Moses, rather than being so full of beans, he's ready to go as a young man. He's an old man, fairly old. He's going to live a lot longer, but he doesn't know it then. And he's like, hey, God, here's some things that I'd just like to remind you of why I cannot be your candidate for this mission if I accept it. And he says, when you read a little bit further on verse 4, he says, hey, God, I've got this objection. He said, what if they don't believe me that you sent me? Anyone felt they've had some kind of like inkling and kind of maybe a drawing from God, you know, like a prompting from God, anyone? Anyone been sort of, in, you know, very scared to share that with anyone? You know why? Because they'd be like, yeah, right, sure. And how are you? Why are you from God? And Moses says, what if they don't believe you or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And a staff, he replied. And then began this thing where he said, throw the staff down. And it turned into a snake. He said, pick it up. Whoa. And he said, is that good enough for you? The thing that really hit me about that is often when we start to hear what God hears, the first thing I do is I go, I just don't have the emotional capacity or the tools or the abilities or the fill in the blank, God, to actually make a difference. I mean, if Bono can't sort of do it, you know, like, and these brilliant people, like, who am I? And I hear in this story the whisper of God saying, what's in your hand? What do you have? One of the young guys at our old church, Josh, who ended up taking over the church and is leading a brilliant church now in multiple campuses. And when he first gave his life to Jesus, he felt God just say, prompt him. And we didn't find this out till years later. He felt God prompt him just saying, use your car to just pick people up and like ferry them around, right? So he used to bring Faye to church. Remember that, Mum? He'd bring Faye for years to church, right? And then as you do when you're a leader of a church and you want to really encourage them, I started making fun of him because he was a single guy. And I was going, mate, she's a bit old for you. Like, she's like 73. And, you know, you sort of like picking her up and bringing her, you know, and he thought it was as funny as you did. almost went to another church, but he stayed, thank God. He just used what he had. And you know, that can sound simplistic, and often it is. You know, you get a prompting and to call someone. Or you get a prompting to say something, like the other night someone just shared something, and I love it how they shared it. She said, this is for me, but it may be for someone else. And it was talking about barriers we put up between God. And it was definitely for me, but it was just something that she had to share. And so God says to Moses, what have you got? I'll start with what you got. And I actually think this is not a message about works, but often when we encounter God who hears a cry and we say, it's too big, he just says, start with what you got. I mean, we know Mother Teresa said it's not about doing great acts. It's about doing small acts with great love. And I think that's a really pertinent thing. I'm sure Alex, your sister, would be overwhelmed on many days. I'm sure she would say, am I crazy? She runs Lombano, by the way, and next week we'll show a video of that. By the way, last night you raised 1,600 bucks? 1,200, someone here needs to give 400. Turn aside, put it in your back pocket right now. No, so yeah, $1,200, and there's a tree outside that you can buy a little Christmas decoration, the best decoration you'll buy. Pay whatever you want for it. I think some are $10, $15, $20, $50, $100, $1,000, and then just hang it on your tree, and it'll go towards that. But I'm sure she at times gone, I've just got what I've got, and I bring it to God. And so God said that to Moses. It still wasn't good enough and for Moses, and he had one final thing that he said, and that was this. He said, Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Verse 10 of chapter 4. Final thing is, Moses said to God, you asked me to be someone who speaks on your behalf, and I'm terrible at speaking. I know that feeling. I really do. I remember the first time I ever spoke my start was this great joke, and it went down like most of my jokes today have gone down. Terrible. And I just wanted the stage to open up, and if there was a hell, maybe I could go there and hide. It literally got, and you know when a speaker gets embarrassed? Have you ever been in that interaction between, you know, someone who's communicating, you know they're just not going well, and you're kind of rooting for them, but the more that they get uncomfortable, the more uncomfortable you feel. You've ever had that dynamic go on? And you're like, oh, Lord, please help them. You know, like, it was that type of environment. And I, when I really get embarrassed, I just go bright red. It can't be hidden. And I go bright red from here, and I remain purple the rest of the way. And I remember I just was like going, this is horrible. And it was. It was horrible. And I somehow made it through, and I thought, I'll never do that again. So I know what it's like, so I can't speak. And God said this to Moses. He said, who made man's mouth? Like, you're not telling me something I don't know, Moses. I'm asking you to do something. The interesting thing was, God was speaking to Moses from a bush. Just let that sink in. I don't know if you've ever seen any lips on a bush, but God was speaking to Moses on a bush, and he said, I want you to speak for me. A bush is a tree that hasn't made it. It isn't even a real tree. It's a reject. No one at Christmas decorates their bush. They're the outcasts of Herbalife, no, I don't know, the Horticultural Society. They're the outcasts. This message has been brought to you by Herbalife. You can also get that out the back, sign up. Who knows? I don't know. We've got to land this baby. Paul says, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then the Gentile. And then he goes on to say, you see, not many kings and haughty people and so forth get this. In fact, it seems foolishness. And I think sometimes God just does put this beautiful gift and treasure in people's mouths and lives who say, I don't have much, but literally, it's so God, people can see the treasure that is God, who says, I restore and I make whole and I can do miracles. This morning, all this would be nice talking if, and we could just go home now and just be like, okay. But I wonder whether this message could even be an encouragement for us just to turn aside today, just for a few minutes. I'm gonna ask Rob and the team to come. And I want to say this. In Revelations, there's this saying, and it says this. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to Christians. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. God knocks at the door of our lives. God knocks at the door of the church. I don't know if any of you have ever had someone knock on your door, but often the knock is just the attention getter, isn't it? No one goes and answers the door and says, that was a beautiful knock. I really enjoyed your knock. Can you do that? How do you do that? See, the knock isn't the point. The point is letting the person in. They want to get in, right? The bush was just the knock for Moses. What is it this week where God is going to just say, turn aside? And you know what? Don't get excited about turning aside. Get excited about who's behind the invitation to turn aside. And I think that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to, if we can, just open up our lives. You see, for some of you, you've never turned aside even just to consider accepting Jesus into your life. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you've been hearing the good news that Jesus saves and he heals and he restores. But you maybe have felt like, I'm not a candidate. I want you to know that I think there is a burning bush for you today. This is a call. And the ultimate today is the invite to the table, the welcome, where we come to Jesus. But before we do that, how about we spend a moment? Maybe you just close your eyes right now if you could. Lord, please whisper your words to us. Lord, sensitize us to those moments where you pull us aside, you try and get our attention, you say, come and be with me. Lord, help us to love those stolen moments with you. More than what you say, more than how you get our attention, just being around the one who flung the stars into space. Being around the one who we've heard this morning loves us. Such a simple message, but so profound. How wide and deep and high is the love of Jesus. Lord, we turn aside this moment, this morning, this moment, right now. When you just like, why don't you just enter in? We're just going to worship for a few minutes. Make this a holy place.